All right, Woody, thank you so much. As we're a couple weeks away from, well, check that. Less than 2 weeks away from rookie camp opening up. And see what that looks like with Malik Washington and Chop Robinson, Muhammad, Jalen, all the rest of these guys. And they'll be a part of this thing and see if you get anything early on in the season from them. And then, really, besides the core being back, all the veteran players, and I do mean veteran players, Calais Campbell, Odell Beckham, Jordan Brooks, Kendall Fuller, Poyer, Jonnu Smith, Aaron Brewer, Shaq Barrett, Marcus May, a lot of guys. Jack Driscoll, going to try to make a run at that guard position, I think. They got a lot of tackles on the team. So, yeah, here we go, man. All I can say is this. However you take this, and if you feel like you don't want to hear it, it's fine. They got a good team. They've got another good team that's got a chance, like last year. Last year's team was really a really good team. Really, really a good team. Didn't get it done. Got injured at the end of the season. Some guys didn't play well. Had their chances against the Bills in that game. Had their chance against Tennessee, and they didn't do it in two home games at home. They beat Dallas and lose those other two games and on a return for a touchdown late and giving up a 14-point lead to Tennessee. And so I think everybody knows the formula of doing it. And, yeah, I agree. It's going to start with Tua. Tua's got to play better late in the year. His numbers were not good enough at the end of the season. Totally agree with everybody. I don't actually have – some people have problems, if you really like Tua, with some of the people that have critiqued some of the work at the end of the season and criticized some of the work that he did at the end of the season. I did some good things. I get, you know, wants a contract. He's watching everybody else get a contract. But he needs to take it to another level. There's no question. But overall, the team and – he's got more weapons to have more success. And people, well, how do you say that? Well, they've added another receiver on the outside, Odell Beckham, who can play outside. So if it happens again this year and you lose Jalen Waddle or Tyreek Hill for a game, Odell Beckham's more than capable of lining up. He was the number one receiver just a few years ago before the injury bug hit him. He can do it. And you got more speed at running back. You got more depth and better receivers at tight end. So that part of it, the defense has added some nice veteran pieces. We'll see how they all hold up. But yeah, I like the group. But again, and I am going to try not to read into a fast start. We've had some fast starts over the 24 years of not winning a playoff game, and we need a strong finish. No secret, right? After starting 9-3, well, we were 9-3, and if I'm not mistaken, the Bills were 6-6 at that point. You had a nice lead at the end, and of course, they come down here and winner wins the AFC East, and they were able to do it. But again, I would just say this: overall, you look at the roster, and it's a really good roster. Once again, this would officially become for me second best roster, if not, we'll see how it looks once it starts, but in the last 20 years, it's balanced, got really good players, it's got superstars on both sides of the football, and we'll see. I say superstars. Jalen Ramsey and Tyreek Hill are right there at the top at what they do. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. And that's as far as I go. And people ask me, and if you see me, you can ask me and go, hey, what do you think, Joe? It's kind of the break, right? If you don't know somebody, go, hey, Joe, what do you think about the season? And I go, hey, got a good team. Got a real good team. We'll see. See how it comes together. That's as far as you can go. They got to learn how to win. They got to learn how to win in December. Got to learn now how to win in January. And, yes, the last two games – because people say Dolphins can't win in cold weather. Well, your last two games are in cold weather. At Cleveland and at the Meadowlands against the Jets. So with everybody that says that. We'll see. They got a chance. They got a chance, man. And, boy, I'll tell you what, it's incredible because of what just happened with the Panthers. And it does put, just by the reaction, it puts a lot more pressure on the Heat and the Dolphins to get it done. To get it done. So we'll see. Who do you like going deeper right now, the way these rosters are made up? I know it's completely different. It's 5-on-5 versus 11-on-11 and a lot more. But who do you have higher expectations for next year, the Heat or the Dolphins?
I don't have much in the line of expectations for the Heat. Which is okay, by the way. They're entitled to have a little bit of a downturn, right?
So what if all those guys stay healthy? What if those guys stay healthy and we see some guys that have played 70 games
this
year? I don't
know. Year? I mean, they've been a play-in team the last few years, so I don't
No, they have.
I don't know how that's going to get so much better with, you know, the same roster, and you've actually lost guys, so.
Yeah.
And I know, like, Khalil Ware had a nice game, but, like, summer league stuff, you can't really.
Oh, I'm not reading into that. Yeah. I mean, it's good to see him, you know, your number one pick play well. I mean, he is there, and you want him to. So, by the way, that's a great point. So, you know, I get up this morning, and I see that Khalil Ware had a nice game at 26-11. I wanted to see. And I go, okay, that's what your first pick's supposed to do, one of the top picks in the draft. That's kind of summer league basketball. You want to see your high pick play well. And he did what you expect, what you hoped. So we'll see. It is an interesting one though. The mystery of Jimmy Butler is incredible. It really is. I don't know how he takes everything. He's a real interesting guy, right? He is doesn't stay with the team on the road. Doesn't stay in the same hotel. Misses a lot of games. I don't care what he does as far as the hotel, as long as you're winning, nobody cares. He wouldn't be the first guy to stay in a different place in the team. That's happened before. I think A-Rod had that same deal when he was with the Yankees. He didn't stay in the same hotel as the team. So I know that does go on, but Jimmy's a hard one to figure out. I don't think Jimmy Butler automatically comes back and calls his agent and says, I'm going 25 points a night. I'm going to play 70 games. That seems to be the number everybody's happy with, being in the 70s in today's NBA. All right, I'll do that. I'm average 24, and I'm going to get myself a nice big contract after this. I don't know if that's Jimmy Butler. Or if Jimmy Butler goes, nah, it ain't changing. I'm about these playoffs, man. I got a gift. I can step up my game in a big way in the playoffs, and that's what I'm going to do. He's an interesting guy, Woody, to put it nicely. You try to figure that one out.
I can't.
That would be
it's an interesting offseason, though. A lot of traveling.
Yeah, but he's always done that. I mean, now just the fact he was injured, people are making. But
I think he's going to be motivated when he comes back. I really do. And the combination of the Celtics and Pat Riley and all that will have him.
Listen, man, he can say whatever he wants, but when the big guy calls you out, he didn't go around calling people out. Pat Riley does not call people out individually like that, especially not the best player. And that's what he did. Now, I don't know if the team went in behind it and said, hey, Pat might have got a little carried away. You know how Pat is, but he had to send a message to the team. I don't know if it was kind of like that. But I took it like, no, that was a direct shot at Jimmy. Like, hey, Jimmy, we friggin' need you. And I know you got a big extension coming up here. But I don't know. I don't know because I haven't seen it. Can't play 60 games. Can't miss a quarter of the season.
So a guy sent this in. A loner cannot be a true leader. Jimmy Butler will bring nothing to Miami but unhappiness. I don't know how he is with the rest of his team. I'm guessing they like him.
Well, I think he does all the hard work and practices hard. I'm guessing because he plays both ends of the court. He really does. I mean, he gets after it defensively and stuff.
But to say that he'll bring nothing to Miami is, I mean, people are just so ungrateful. It really is. It's almost impressive.
You know what's amazing? That tennis thing. That was.
I went to that game.
I went to tennis.
I'm sure you did. No, we were at that game. It was the Warriors game.
Oh, it was?
And, yeah, and, you know, we're waiting in line to get in. And so Ira had put that Jimmy was probable. He went from probable to questionable to out in, like, the span of 20 minutes. It is what it is,
so,
man.
So I don't get after him like those NBA shows do, because I wouldn't know. But some of those guys that are former players think he's got like 10 games where he doesn't put in much effort in those games during the regular, when he does play.
Look, man, a lot of people don't think the NBA is a very good product. And a lot of this stuff makes it tough to argue that. And I really like basketball, but man, some of this stuff is tough. Guys getting paid these obscene contracts. They act like they don't want to play in the regular season.
Well, that's why the commissioner says your stats don't count if you don't play a certain amount.
Yeah, but then they just say they don't care.
Not eligible for this, not eligible for that. If you don't play a certain amount, okay.
Somebody says Butler is the Kachuk of the basketball team. He does all the little things and all the hustle things that are never on the stat sheet.
He does.
Crazy people knock him.
He's got great instincts, by the way. He does. By the way, add that on to the thing. And he is the leader of the team. He does the talking. They do the listening. I agree with that, by the way.
He did sound like an idiot during the postseason when they were interviewing him on the side. He's like, oh, they're lucky I'm not playing.
Yeah, that's why.
He sounded stupid. But
that was kind of an old school Pat Riley. Like
why they were interviewing him to begin with.
Like
but.
Pat's say, hey, Jimmy. You're not even playing, and you're talking about beating somebody and taking a shot at a Knicks player and taking Celtics are lucky we'd beat them. You're not playing. You have no say-so. Zip it. That's old school. If you ain't playing, you can't comment. By the way, does that just go away all of a sudden now? Because you know the first questions he's going to be asked when they get is, hey, what were your thoughts on Pat Riley's comments going months back?
848 says, I respect the Heat organization, Pat and Spo, but the fan base, I'm loving the demise of these fair-weather fans. Ha, 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 he says. We do seem very fair-weather right now, by the way. Someone says we are 10 through 12 in the East right now. I don't think so. We need another All-Star, Joe. That's what we need.
How are you going to do it?
By magic. Another guy said he was going to send us a picture of Real Madrid or a video. They keep they have turf all year round. It just takes the owner coughing up money, the guy says. I think Stephen Ross pays. This, by the way, just got sent out. I don't know if you saw this. NFL national revenue hit $13 billion for 2023. Every team received $400 million plus from shared TV sponsorships and merchandise, up 115% over the past decade.
Ooh. Saying the league's.
I mean, they have the money.
Well, our guy.
I mean, they could play on gold though with that. I mean, like,
so let me just say this: this turf thing has nothing to do with South Florida turf.
No, but like, is that? I mean, they're
this
not.
This has
it to
do
save money. They can't
would,
be.
This has to do with the Northeast, and I don't know. Somebody'd have to. Maybe we'll try to get a hold of one of the grass people. I don't know if they can grow grass and keep it in the cold weather and the snow and stuff, but.
Well, I mean, they have grass in those places.
Green Bay.
Yeah, but like in general, it's not just like the cities aren't all concrete. They have grass some places.
But I don't know how it grows, Woody, is where you're not slipping all over the place and stuff.
You just
and,
chop it in. Get like a big plane or something.
All I know is we own the most expensive grass. Apparently, it's a couple hours from here or hour and a half from here, and they have a grass farm, and they have people that work for the team between the team and the field, and he also oversees the farm.
Do they sell to normal people? Like if you wanted to put that on your
lawn? That's a great question. So it wouldn't be that, but it would be what teams are they selling it to?
No, I'm sure they sell teams. I was saying,
by the way, they put it down.
Can you buy it? Like, can a person go out there and buy a chunk for their?
No. This is big dollar stuff, but. You know, they put that stuff in. I told you, they put that stuff in after a Canes game. It's good to go the next day. They work all night to put it in, and it's in. And it doesn't move. It doesn't slide around. It's like, how the hell did you do that? It's pretty amazing. It really is. All right, we got to go to break here, Woody. I didn't realize it was so late here. We've got Brian Geltzeiler, host of Sirius XM NBA Radio, going to join us. We're going to talk to Geltzy a little bit. About get his take on the Heat and some other things going on right now in free agency. We're asking about the East and all that stuff. We'll have all that for you coming up. Stay with us.
All right, time for a stock market report sponsored by Kendall Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, home of the $21,000 discount. Kendall Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram.com. And the market opens up in about 2 minutes from now. And
the market is the market.
Thank you, Tua. Joe, back to you.
Boy, it fits in with so many things, doesn't it? The market is the market.
You think Tua, you trademarked that, man.
I don't know.
He should come to camp the first day. If he doesn't get his contract, he should come to camp the first day with a shirt that says that.
I'm guessing the team knows, Woody, that this will be, once camp starts, this will be there every day for Tua if the contract doesn't get done. I mean, there's, hey, we're working on it. We're hoping to get it done before the season starts. I'm guessing would be the way they would go. But it's always going to be there. And how he practices, you know, and what drills he's doing and not doing. And honestly, you need Tua to be out there for everything. Tua's a timing quarterback. He needs to throw every day and throw to his guys, his new guys, Odell Beckham. He needs to throw to the young guys he's got there. He needs, you know, Malik Washington, the rest of them, and Jalen Wright. He needs to get him caught up as a pass-receiving running back. All that stuff. So they don't want to be going through that. Just noise that they don't need. It really is. It would just be noise that they don't need. I know it's going to be a hot topic because Tua is a hot topic anyway, and it's going to become an issue here in a few weeks. Now, it opens up, what did he say, the 24th, I believe, camp opens for the veterans, 24, 25, and then 28 or 29 is when the team will have their first practice for the fans. So, and then we'll be rolling right into it. We'll have a couple of preseason games here, practices before, and get an idea of things and where everybody's
like
starting to fit in.
Joe, 28th, first official, 10:30 a.m. there.
All right. So,
how about that, man? August 3rd's at Hard Rock. So you got that one. That's a Saturday, August 3rd, and August 6th and 7th with the Falcons, and then the 15th with the Commanders.
Right. And that's up there. Commanders, does that sound right? The third game's on the road?
Does not sound right because it's on the schedule here, so I'm guessing it's here.
All right. Well, whatever it is, we'll be there, wherever it ends up.
It says beginning Monday, July 8th, by the way, fans can sign up for tickets.
Oh, to go to practices.
That is today.
What did I see, 10?
Tickets will be released on July 8th. That's today. So if you're a Dolphin fan, you want tickets. These things usually go pretty quick, no?
Yeah, and they got 10 practices open to the public.
You want me to count them?
No, you don't have
to. I don't know. It looks like
it doesn't matter.
12, 13, 10, 12? 14, okay. Maybe. I don't know.
All right. I was off on all
There's
my...
There's a member day on August 2nd, close to the public, open exclusively to season ticket members.
Okay. There you go. I'm guessing they've sold just about everything, if not everything, for the season. Guessing there's not a lot of tickets left.
No, probably not.
Right.
All our teams are selling out.
You're right. Well, four of five. Four of five selling out.
Ah, you're bringing the Marlins back into the equation.
Well, I brought Inter Miami into it, too.
They're selling out. They're fine. They're doing okay.
Said four for five. Said four for five. Put the soccer team in there as well and everything. All right, so... we've got a lot more stuff. We're going to kind of finish up the show today with Brian Geltzeiler is going to join us, host of SiriusXM NBA Radio. And Geltzy comes on with us every so often. Just get caught up with everything that's going on here and where around the Heat. The Jimmy Butler story to free agency. Think they're going with this team. You expect them to still try to tear some things apart to bring in somebody. And also we'll ask him about the Utah Jazz power forward as well. That's Danny Ainge looks like he's ready to trade Markkanen. So we'll see. We'll ask him about that as well and some of the other stuff going forward with this Miami Heat team. So we'll have that coming up in just a minute. Stay with us.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
All right, thank you, Woody. As we go to Brian Geltzeiler, host of Sirius XM NBA Radio. Geltzy, always great having you, man. I need your help today, so thanks for coming on.
My pleasure, Joe. How we doing?
We're doing okay, but we got a lot of Heat fans really hurting watching the East make a lot of moves. Now they lose one of the guys they developed, and Caleb Martin goes to the 76ers. We find out he got a lot less money. There's just a lot of frustration. I'll start with that. What was your thought about Caleb Martin going to the 76ers?
I'm surprised he took less money. I'm not surprised he went to the 76ers. They're building something special there. And the Paul George addition has put them on a different tier. And Martin became an important player to them because as George load manages and inevitably misses time for that team, Martin's going to be a vital player for them. The fact that he took less money to go there, that's a major, major head-scratcher. And that has to be a sign that he's not thrilled with some of the things that are going on in Miami and is not a place he decided to hang his hat, which to me, it's tough to fathom on one front. On the other front, when you start to connect the dots on the things that you hear coming out of Miami, this is where the Butler stuff can turn bad. And not to say there's a personal issue between Butler and Caleb Martin. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I am saying is that, you know, there's a shelf life with how long people like to put up with Jimmy Butler's act. And I'm speculating, so aggregators don't say I'm reporting this. I am speculating. But I would think that's something that it's certain Butler and maybe his message getting stale among his teammates had something to do with Caleb Martin taking less money to join the Sixers as opposed to the Heat, who, by the way, were only in the finals last year in 2023.
Yeah,
so it's not like you're leaving a situation of a team that doesn't have a chance to win.
So let's talk about Pat Riley. Calls out Jimmy Butler after the season was over in a big, big way about he's got to play more games and all these things. What do you think the reaction to Jimmy Butler will be as number one? And will Pat Riley give him that extension, or you think he waits to see how he plays this year?
No, I don't think he's getting the extension either way, I think that Jimmy Butler does get a contract extension, I think it's going to be somewhere else. I don't think Pat Riley's doing that at all. I think right now it's a question of, A, can we compete this way with the team that we have? B, let's take a look at maybe Butler playing more games, enhancing his trade value as we come into the deadline, and see how the Heat are playing. If the Heat aren't as competitive as Pat Riley wants them to be, well, maybe that makes a decision for him on Butler. If they're looking great and playing really well, maybe they figure out a way to add to this group. The Heat have quietly built up. They have plenty of picks in place. Not getting Lillard and being able to go get Terry Rozier was, to me, a massive bonus for Miami. Last summer, people were going crazy in Miami because Damian Lillard went in another direction because Joe Cronin and the Blazers decided they weren't sending him to Miami no matter what. That was a blessing for the Heat because Rozier is such a better fit with this organization than Damian Lillard ever would have been, even though Lillard's such a talented offensive player. Rozier kind of personifies the Heat grind that is so typical of what Miami has built and how they approach everything. So but because of that, there's picks there to trade between Jovic, between Hawkes. You got a couple of young guys here that you can do something with. They just went and drafted Khalil Ware, who's looking very good early on here in summer league and is a guy they like a ton. So they have some pieces to be able to go get somebody if that's the choice that they make. But I think they kind of want to see how all of this shakes out and maybe how Butler responds to some of what Pat Riley had to say about him. I mean, keep in mind, you know, it was last summer where Pat Riley called out Kyle Lowry for his conditioning. Now, listen, Lowry came back, and I don't know if he was in better shape, but in the end, it didn't work out. Kyle Lowry ended up somewhere else the trade deadline. So I think it's worth watching what happens here for Miami. With all that said, I think if they're able to get a Lowry marketing deal sometime between now and the trade deadline, I think they jump on it.
Well,
I mean, that's something to keep an eye on.
That was the next one, Lowry marketing, and Danny Ainge looks like they're doing the rebuild and they want to trade him here in the last year of his contract. Could you see the Heat having a chance? I know there's names been mentioned along with a lot of other teams. And how good is he?
He's really good. He's really good. He is he's a very, very gifted offensive player, not only as a shooter, but he's tough off the bounce going to the basket. He has a really good playoff 2 feet type of game. So he can get 2-3 dribbles in into a 10 or a 12-foot pull-up, and he's so long, it's very tough to contest. Defensively, where he was frankly a traffic cone when he got into the league, Joe, he has now become a decent defensive player, moves his feet on the perimeter. He helps out on the glass. He's a good rebounder. And he's the kind of guy that would fit perfect next to Bam Adebayo in the front court. He really would be a huge help for them and a premium offensive player. And if you were able to get him and keep Butler and have Bam and be able to make a run with those three guys and kind of piece around them, and even if it's Jovic and Hakez that go, you still got a lot of pieces there that you're able to work out in a deal like this. To me, I like it. Here's the other thing that's interesting about it to me. There is a path to do it and keep Tyler Hero. Well, that I like because they need that shooting because his contract is right in that $17-18 million range, and you could match up the Duncan Robinson deal and be able to keep Tyler Hero there.
Okay, and I did want to ask you about Tyler Hero. People kind of cooled on Tyler. You know, he didn't play great. He had the one great game against Boston in the first round, but he had some poor shooting nights there. How do you look at Tyler Hero? What kind of player right now at this point in his career?
He's at a crossroads right now. There's no doubt about it, Joe. If he wants to be an all-star level NBA player, he's going to have to commit himself to the defensive end of the floor. Because Tyler Hero, he's got a little Zach LaVine in him, Joe. Do you know what I mean? Like, Zach LaVine, one of the frustrations with the Bulls and Zach LaVine is like, dude, you could be a really good defensive player if you gave a crap, if you wanted to be a good defensive player. I feel the same way about Hero. And right now what's happened with Hero is that team just run pick and roll at him all day long. He's the defensive hole. So if you're not and listen, you can get away with that in some spots with guys that make a lot of shots. If you're hitting your shots, you're playing efficient offensively, and it's all going well, well, fine. We can live with the fact that you're weak defensively and structurally put some things in place where we can hide you a little bit. But if you're out there and you're not making shots and they're attacking on the defensive end of the floor all the time, you're flat a liability. And I think that's kind of what's happened with Hero is his whole game in the way that he plays and how little he gives on defense has kind of come down to if he's making shots, he's helping you, and if he's not making shots, he's not helping you. And there's so much more to the game than that. And he has to kind of be willing to roll up his sleeves and be willing to put that work in on the defensive end. And he doesn't even have to be a good defensive player. He's just got to be okay. He's just got to be passable. He's just got to hold up sometimes. And he doesn't hold up really ever. He's a weakness on that end of the floor. And for Tyler Hero, forget about taking 1,000 shots a day. You should be doing foot fires every day to make sure that you can move better defensively, become smarter, watching film on the defensive end, figuring out how to navigate screens. It's not only that he needs to be better defensively, he needs to be more conscientious and smarter there, Joe.
So Gelsey, I got to ask you, so you think Jokic and Jaime Jaquez got some value out there, huh, for teams that are rebuilding? Those would be two pieces. They're both still super young. Might be the most value on this team in a trade for some of these teams?
I think so. Listen, Jovic had a good year this year. Teams are impressed with him. He came along faster than expected. He was really young when he was drafted, and I just thought as a stretch four prospect, he made a good showing of himself. And Hawkins stepped on the floor as everybody thought he would and ended up being a guy that could be a good NBA wing at an early stage. Now, again, the offense with him faded late. He did not shoot the ball as well late in the year, and he's going to have to be another one that understands the day-in and day-out grind of NBA defense. But the thing about Hawkins is that you watch him play and you see a really good defender in there. So those guys right now as young players for something like Danny Ainge, listen, you can do a lot worse than getting those two guys in a marketing deal with a bunch of picks that help you elevate this thing.
Yeah.
And so I really, those guys have some value out there. If the Heat want to do it, they have one more move on them to try to elevate this group. Because I do think the Heat right now, with what you look at what's happened in the West, in the East, you look at how good Boston is. But without Porzingis the first 3 months of the year. You look at what Philadelphia just did. A healthy version of Philadelphia is closer to Boston than anybody else in the conference. New York is small, but they're talented, and they have excellent wings, and they certainly did get better. I would dispute how much better without having any center depth, but they certainly did get better. And then there's the second tier with Cleveland and Milwaukee. I think New York's probably closer to that second tier with Cleveland and Milwaukee. Miami's probably on the bottom end of that second tier. They're one player away from being on that first tier, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You get that one guy, you're closer.
What about Pacers? How do you like Pacers?
You know, I don't want to pour cold water on what they accomplished because they had a great season and exceeded expectations, a wildly successful season. But I also think things fell well for them. Listen, you got the Bucks without Giannis and didn't have Dame half the series, and the Knicks pretty much collapsed around you. They lost Robinson, Anunoby, and Brunson in Game 7 of that series. Like, everybody kind of collapsed around them, and when they stepped on the court against a team, which, by the way, was shorthanded too, in Boston, they did, I don't think they showed badly against Boston. They did lose, in all fairness, Halliburton halfway through the season, and they were playing without Mathurin. I get all that, but I kind of look at them as if be very surprised to have them have the same kind of success last year than they did this year. The jump they made is the easier jump to make, and I liken them to a better version of what we saw in 2021 with the Atlanta Hawks, where it all kind of fell right for them. You know, Ben Simmons and the Sixers choked right in front of their faces, and Atlanta ended up in a conference final. We haven't seen Atlanta sniff that since. Now, again, Indiana, I think, will hang around. Good young players. They'll be a good team. But to me, they're more a middle-of-the-conference team than a top-of-the-conference team.
Kelce, I leave you with this one. I appreciate all this great stuff this morning. Going back to Jimmy Butler, I have no idea. Like, he's been here. He's a tough guy to figure out. He does his own thing, as you know. I think it does frustrate some of the guys sometimes and that stuff. You look at him, do you think he's capable of playing 70 games? He's right at 60, and it drives Riley and the team nuts. Could you see him coming back motivated to play in the 70? Is that enough to motivate that guy or not?
So, listen, let me start with this, Joe, when it comes to Butler. I think that for Butler, it's more about being healthy. And for the Heat, I think they're on the same page in this respect. It's more about being healthy than playing more regular season games. I think the Heat would like to have him play more regular season games. They want him healthy for the playoffs. And so if there's a happy medium to figure that out and they end up with him healthy for the playoffs, I think that works for everybody. The other thing that you have to understand about Jimmy Butler is Jim, and I don't say this in a judgmental way, Joe, because I think it's important to kind of distinguish this. He likes his money, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. Listen, the NBA players have a limited window of their life to earn in the way that they earn, and it's generational money, and they want to earn whatever they can. He likes his money. And one of the reasons Jimmy Butler didn't want to get traded and said, I don't need an extension right now, is because that was the way for him to save face because there wasn't an extension out there. The teams that were talking with him, with the Heat, about potentially, you know, making a move for him weren't interested in jumping to give him an extension. And partly because of what you're saying. You got to see him play. You got to see him on the floor for 70 games. So I think for Jimmy Butler, as we've seen in the past in his career, money is a major, major motivating factor. Okay? And keep in mind, I'm going to go back to this. Butler's half season in Philly, right? He gets moved over to the Sixers and played out of his mind that crazy Kawhi Leonard shot that hung on the rim three times right. And finally fell was the only reason the Sixers didn't get to a conference final that year with Jimmy Butler leading the way. Jimmy Butler was playing for a contract. When Jimmy Butler's playing for a contract, he is absolutely a man possessed. And I think we're going to see some of that this year for him. I just listen to the question of how much the Heat shore up around them and how good they can be and deep they can be. That's, to me, the important thing for them. I don't think the Heat, listen, again, between now and the trade deadline, and not to get off on a tangent, but with this new CBA, and the second apron, there's going to be a ton of action at the trade deadline. It's one of the unintended consequences of this second apron, where teams stay under the second apron to be able to aggregate contracts, and the middle class is getting squeezed. Those two things together is going to give you a crazy trade deadline. Between now and the trade deadline, if Jimmy Butler's showing that he's in his contract year mode, that he'd have to get some help for him, no doubt about it.
Gels, this is great stuff, man. We really appreciate you coming on here. We just need a little help. The old fan base down here is a little fired up right now because of what just happened. So thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on.
Joe, you're a legend, my man. It's always my pleasure to spend some time with you. We'll do it again soon.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. Brian Geltzeiler, host of SiriusXM NBA Radio, talking to us. Man, we are out of time. good stuff talking about the NBA. Watch what's going on in Salt Lake City with the Utah Jazz and the big man. That's going to do it for our show. Have a great day, everybody. Just a minute. Stay with us.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
All right, thank you, Woody. As we go to Brian Geltzeiler, host of Sirius XM NBA Radio. Geltzy, always great having you, man. I need your help today, so thanks for coming on.
My pleasure, Joe. How we doing?
We're doing okay, but we got a lot of Heat fans really hurting watching the East make a lot of moves. Now they lose one of the guys they developed, and Caleb Martin goes to the 76ers. We find out he got a lot less money. There's just a lot of frustration. I'll start with that. What was your thought about Caleb Martin going to the 76ers?
I'm surprised he took less money. I'm not surprised he went to the 76ers. They're building something special there, and the Paul George addition has put them on a different tier. And Martin became an important player to them because as George load manages and inevitably misses time for that team, Martin's going to be a vital player for them. The fact that he took less money to go there, that's a major, major head scratcher. And that has to be a sign that he's not thrilled with some of the things that are going on in Miami and is not a place he decided to hang his hat, which to me, it's tough to fathom on one front. On the other front, when you start to connect the dots on the things that you hear coming out of Miami, this is where the Butler stuff can turn bad. And not to say there's a personal issue between Butler and Caleb Martin. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I am saying is that, you know, there's a shelf life with how long people like to put up with Jimmy Butler's act. And I'm speculating, so aggregators don't say I'm reporting this. I am speculating. But I would think that's something that it's certain Butler – and maybe his message getting stale among his teammates had something to do with Caleb Martin taking less money to join the Sixers as opposed to the Heat, who, by the way, were only in the finals last year in 2023.
Yeah,
so it's not like you're leaving a situation of a team that doesn't have a chance to win.
So let's talk about Pat Riley. Calls out Jimmy Butler after the season was over in a big, big way about he's got to play more games and all these things. What do you think the reaction to Jimmy Butler will be as number one? And will Pat Riley give him that extension, or you think he waits to see how he plays this year?
No, I don't think he's getting the extension either way, I think that if Jimmy Butler does get a contract extension, I think it's going to be somewhere else. I don't think Pat Riley's doing that at all. I think right now it's a question of, A, can we compete this way with the team that we have? B, let's take a look at maybe Butler playing more games, enhancing his trade value as we come into the deadline, and see how the Heat are playing. If the Heat aren't as competitive as Pat Riley wants them to be, well, maybe that makes a decision for him on Butler. If they're looking great and playing really well, maybe they figure out a way to add to this group. The Heat have quietly built up. They have plenty of picks in place. Not getting Lillard and being able to go get Terry Rozier was, to me, a massive bonus for Miami. Last summer, people were going crazy in Miami because Damian Lillard went in another direction because Joe Cronin and the Blazers decided they weren't sending him to Miami no matter what. That was a blessing for the Heat because Rozier is such a better fit with this organization than Damian Lillard ever would have been, even though Lillard's such a talented offensive player. Rozier kind of personifies the Heat grind that is so typical of what Miami has built and how they approach everything. So but because of that, there's picks there. There's picks there to trade between Jovic, between Hawkes. You got a couple of young guys here that you can do something with. They just went and drafted Khalil Ware, who's looking very good early on here in summer league and is a guy they like a ton. So they have some pieces to be able to go get somebody if that's the choice that they make. But I think they kind of want to see how all of this shakes out and maybe how Butler responds to some of what Pat Riley had to say about him. I mean, keep in mind, you know, it was last summer where Pat Riley called out Kyle Lowry for his conditioning. Now, listen, Lowry came back, and I don't know if he was in better shape, but in the end, it didn't work out. Kyle Lowry ended up somewhere else to trade deadline. So I think it's worth watching what happens here for Miami. With all that said, I think if they're able to get a Lowry Markkanen deal sometime between now and the trade deadline, I think they jump on it.
Well,
I mean, that's something to keep an eye on.
That was the next one, Lowry Markkanen, and Danny Ainge looks like they're doing the rebuild, and they want to trade him here in the last year of his contract. Could you see the Heat having a chance? I know there's names been mentioned along with a lot of other teams. And how good is he?
He's really good. He's a very, very gifted offensive player, not only as a shooter, but he's tough off the bounce going to the basket. He has a really good playoff 2 feet type of game. So he can get 2-3 dribbles in into a 10 or a 12-foot pull-up, and he's so long, it's very tough to contest. Defensively, where he was frankly a traffic cone when he got into the league, Joe, he has now become a decent defensive player, moves his feet on the perimeter. He helps out on the glass. He's a good rebounder. And he's the kind of guy that would fit perfect next to Bam Adebayo in the front court. He really would be a huge help for them and a premium offensive player. And if you were able to get him and keep Butler and have Bam and be able to make a run with those three guys and kind of piece around them, and even if it's Jovic and Hakez that go, you still got a lot of pieces there that you're able to work out in a deal like this. To me, I like it. Here's the other thing that's interesting about it to me. There is a path to do it and keep Tyler Hero.
Well,
that I like, because they need that shooting, because his contract is right in that $17-18 million range, and you could match up the Duncan Robinson deal and be able to keep Tyler Hero there.
Okay, and I did want to ask you about Tyler Hero. People kind of cooled on Tyler. You know, he didn't play great. He had the one great game against Boston in the first round, but he had some poor shooting nights there. How do you look at Tyler Hero? What kind of player right now at this point in his career?
He's at a crossroads right now. There's no doubt about it, Joe. If he wants to be an all-star level NBA player, he's going to have to commit himself to the defensive end of the floor. Because Tyler Hero, he's got a little Zach LaVine in him, Joe. Do you know what I mean? Like, Zach LaVine, one of the frustrations with the Bulls and Zach LaVine is like, dude, you could be a really good defensive player if you gave a crap, if you wanted to be a good defensive player. I feel the same way about Hero. And right now what's happened with Hero is that team just run pick and roll at him all day long. He's the defensive hole. So if you're not – and listen, you can get away with that in some spots with guys that make a lot of shots. If you're hitting your shots, you're playing efficient offensively, and it's all going well, fine. We can live with the fact that you're weak defensively and structurally put some things in place where we can hide you a little bit. But if you're out there and you're not making shots and they're attacking on the defensive end of the floor all the time, you're flat a liability. And I think that's kind of what's happened with Hero, is his whole game in the way that he plays and how little he gives on defense has kind of come down to, if he's making shots, he's helping you, and if he's not making shots, he's not helping you. And there's so much more to the game than that. And he has to kind of be willing to roll up his sleeves and be willing to put that work in on the defensive end. And he doesn't even have to be a good defensive player. He's just got to be okay. He's just got to be passable. He's just got to hold up sometimes. And he doesn't hold up really ever. He's a weakness on that end of the floor. And for Tyler Hero, forget about taking 1,000 shots a day. You should be doing foot fires every day to make sure that you can move better defensively, become smarter, watching film on the defensive end, figuring out how to navigate screens. He's not only that he needs to be better defensively, he needs to be more conscientious and smarter there, Joe.
So Gelsey, I got to ask you, so you think Jokic and Jaime Jaquez got some value out there, huh, for teams that are rebuilding? Those would be two pieces. They're both still super young. That might be the most value on this team in a trade for some of these teams?
I think so. Listen, Jovic had a good year this year. Teams are impressed with him. He came along faster than expected. He was really young when he was drafted, and I just thought as a stretch four prospect, he made a good showing of himself. And Hakez stepped on the floor as everybody thought he would, and ended up being a guy that could be a good NBA wing at an early stage. Now, again, the offense with him faded late. He did not shoot the ball as well late in the year, and he's going to have to be another one that understands the day in and day out grind of NBA defense. But the thing about Hakez is that you watch him play and you see a really good defender in there. So those guys right now as young players, for something like Danny Ainge, listen, you can do a lot worse than getting those two guys in a marketing deal with a bunch of picks that help you elevate this thing.
Yeah.
And so I really, those guys have some value out there. If the Heat want to do it, they have one more move on them to try to elevate this group. Because I do think the Heat right now, with what you look at what's happened in the West, in the East, you look at how good Boston is. But without Porzingis the first 3 months of the year, You look at what Philadelphia just did. A healthy version of Philadelphia is closer to Boston than anybody else in the conference. New York is small, but they're talented, and they have excellent wings, and they certainly did get better. I would dispute how much better without having any center depth, but they certainly did get better. And then there's the second tier with Cleveland and Milwaukee. I think New York's probably closer to that second tier with Cleveland and Milwaukee. Miami's probably on the bottom end of that second tier. They're one player away from being on that first tier, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You get that one guy, you're closer.
What about Pacers? How do you like Pacers?
You know, I don't want to pour cold water on what they accomplished because they had a great season and exceeded expectations, a wildly successful season. But I also think things fell well for them. Listen, you got the Bucks without Giannis and didn't have Dame half the series, and the Knicks pretty much collapsed around you. They lost Robinson, Ananobi, and Brunson in Game 7 of that series. Like, everybody kind of collapsed around them, and when they stepped on the court against a team, which, by the way, was shorthanded too, in Boston, they did, I don't think they showed badly against Boston. They did lose, in all fairness, Halliburton halfway through the season, and they were playing without Mathurin. I get all that, but I kind of look at them as, if you very surprised to have them have the same kind of success last year than they did this year. The jump they made is the easier jump to make, and I liken them to a better version of what we saw in 2021 with the Atlanta Hawks, where it all kind of fell right for them. You know, Ben Simmons and the Sixers choked right in front of their faces, and Atlanta ended up in a conference final. We haven't seen Atlanta sniff that since. Now, again, Indiana, I think, will hang around. Good young players. They'll be a good team. But to me, they're more a middle-of-the-conference team than a top-of-the-conference team.
Kelce, I leave you with this one. I appreciate all this great stuff this morning. Going back to Jimmy Butler, I have no idea. Like, he's been here. He's a tough guy to figure out. He does his own thing, as you know. I think it does frustrate some of the guys sometimes and that stuff. You look at him, do you think he's capable of playing 70 games? He's right at 60, and it drives Riley and the team nuts. Could you see him coming back motivated to play in the 70? Is that enough to motivate that guy or not?
So, listen, let me start with this, Joe, when it comes to Butler. I think that for Butler, it's more about being healthy. And for the Heat, I think they're on the same page in this respect. It's more about being healthy than playing more regular season games. I think the Heat would like to have him play more regular season games. They want him healthy for the playoffs. And so if there's a happy medium to figure that out and they end up with him healthy for the playoffs, I think that works for everybody. The other thing that you have to understand about Jimmy Butler is Jim, and I don't say this in a judgmental way, Joe, because I think it's important to kind of distinguish this. He likes his money, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. Listen, the NBA players have a limited window of their life to earn in the way that they earn, and it's generational money, and they want to earn whatever they can. He likes his money. And one of the reasons Jimmy Butler didn't want to get traded and said, I don't need an extension right now, is because that was the way for him to save face because there wasn't an extension out there. The teams that were talking with him with the Heat about potentially, you know, making a move for him weren't interested in jumping to give him an extension. And partly because of what you're saying, you got to see him play. You got to see him on the floor for 70 games. So I think for Jimmy Butler, as we've seen in the past in his career, money is a major, major motivating factor. Okay? And keep in mind, I'm going to go back to this. Butler's half season in Philly, right? He gets moved over to the Sixers and played out of his mind. That crazy Kawhi Leonard shot that hung on the rim three times and finally fell was the only reason the Sixers didn't get to a conference final that year with Jimmy Butler leading the way. Jimmy Butler was playing for a contract. When Jimmy Butler's playing for a contract, he is absolutely a man possessed. And I think we're going to see some of that this year for him. I just listen to the question of how much the Heat shore up around them and how good they can be and deep they can be. That's, to me, the important thing for them. I don't think the Heat, listen, again, between now and the trade deadline, and not to get off on a tangent, but with this new CBA, and the second apron, there's going to be a ton of action at the trade deadline. It's one of the unintended consequences of this second apron, where teams stay under the second apron to be able to aggregate contracts, and the middle class is getting squeezed. Those two things together is going to be a crazy trade deadline. Between now and the trade deadline, if Jimmy Butler's showing that he's in his contract year mode, that he'd have to get some help for him, no doubt about it.
Gels, this is great stuff, man. We really appreciate you coming on here. We just need a little help. The old fan base down here is a little fired up right now because of what just happened. So thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on.
Joe, you're a legend, my man. It's always my pleasure to spend some time with you. We'll do it again soon.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. Brian Geltzeiler, host of SiriusXM NBA Radio, talking to us. Man, we are out of time. Good stuff talking about the NBA. Watch what's going on in Salt Lake City with the Utah Jazz and the big man. That's going to do it for our show. Have a great day, everybody.